has been a lot of debate about whether AI can replace some of the jobs that we're doing.
I've seen a lot of people with really creative ideas that perhaps didn't know how to draw, making these comics. So there's a lot of great storytelling happening at the moment.
您现在听到的是阅读时光 Podcast， 来自新西兰，面向全球华人，期待与您一起遇见好书，听见成长。
阅读时光的听友大家好，我是你们的主持人 Lizzie。 今天在布里斯班，非常高兴邀请我的同事和朋友 Anisha 来录我们阅读时光第一期的全英文的播客。我现在邀请 Anisha 做一下自我介绍。Good afternoon, Anisha. Thank you very much for coming to our podcast. Would you like to tell our audience a little bit about yourself, what you do, what are your hobbies, and everything we want to know about you?
Thank you, Lizzie. It's certainly a pleasure to be here talking with you. And thanks for inviting me on your podcast. I'm by day a learning analytics practitioner, manager, and I work at a university. Obviously, learning analytics involves a lot of maths, visualization, data analysis, and it's all within the educational technology area. But by night, I like to play with AI and pretty much all the new algorithms that have been released. And so that's one of my personal hobbies, is just keeping up with my Twitter feed every day. And there's a lot of exciting things that have been happening, particularly the ability to use AI algorithms to generate artwork was something that I became quite interested in last year.
You didn't say about Madonna. That's another issue. Let's save it for another issue.
That this will time, be another podcast on that.
Another podcast, absolutely. For this particular episode, I wanted to talk about your graphic novel. We firstly start this conversation during our morning walk to the office. You said that you have a graphic novel that, and I said, wow, what is it about? And have you published? And then you said, this is this. And I honestly, still till now, I have absolutely no idea. So what is a graphic novel? How's that different from other novel on comic books?
I think a graphic novel is very similar to a comic book. Might look the same in the way it's laid out and the way the images are done for it. To me, my understanding is that a graphic novel is longer than a comic and might contain a complete narrative. So it's a full story that you're getting. There might be prequels and sequels, but, you know, a comic is serialized and it would be something you maybe expect every week or every month to then put together. Whereas a graphic novel, you'd release a lot less often, but it would have a complete story inside of it.
So the one that you have just published, is that your first full graphic novel?
It is, yes.
When did you start writing this graphic novel, and where did you get the idea or inspiration to put this graphic together?
It is the very first one I wrote. How it actually started would have been, I think, early September last year. And that was the time period when an algorithm called Stable Diffusion got released and open sourced by Stability.ai. That particular algorithm I found quite fascinating. One, it was open source, and so there were a whole range of other developers that were more adding on and designing user interfaces for it. The main thing that it did was you could type in a text description and a style for an image. So what you were typing in, the style for the image, and it would generate it. I played with it, I'd say, for about 3 hours the first time I encountered it. It was really mesmerizing. You could type, you know, different descriptions of scenes and things and in different art styles. And it was doing a really good job of generating the image. You could play with different settings on it and things like that. And almost while I was playing with it almost to see what its capabilities were, mm-hmm. I started just thinking about, you know, I've always been a big fan of science fiction, and I watch a lot of science fiction, but I've certainly had ideas for different types of science fiction stories over the years. And I think initially around about 2007, I was actually trying to get into script writing. So not programming script at all, but like, you know, a movie script or something like that.
Creative writing, kind of script writing.
That's exactly right. And I think I did take a little bit of a course, but I think work got really quite full on during that time period, and I kind of left that and didn't complete it and didn't go back to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've definitely had lots of ideas over the years of either science fiction movies or science fiction TV series, or how I wanted to change certain things in certain movies into certain TV series. And so as I was playing with these images, I thought I could actually make a comic. Hmm. Initial was a short form comic. And at that same time in my head, I think I stopped playing with the algorithm, but mentally I was really thinking, you know, what would the storyline be? What could I do with this technology?
Mm.
Went to bed, woke up the next morning. It happened to be a weekend. While at breakfast, I opened Google Docs and I typed a script. It was really quick. The script probably changed a lot since the first time I actually like wrote it. But the idea I had was really a future world, but it really played off what we could do with these textual descriptions or prompts to generate images. And the whole idea is, what if we could use something like that to generate any object? So, you know, it's a future human race. A lot of things have obviously gone wrong, but they have the technology now with a thing called material, which allows them to
mm-hmm.
talk and, you know, I want to change the house. I want to change my dwelling. I want to have this to eat. And they've got an AI that can control matter almost to generate that. So I took the same idea of my recent discovery of making images and I put the graphic novel about that. But it's all set in many, many years into the future where they've had this technology for a while, but it's very bureaucratic and mm-hmm. they're really big companies that own that technology. So, you know, you got things like industrial strikes and quotas and the technology when that's happening being revoked. So the main character actually gets stranded on a planet because the parts of the technology that could keep you alive in space in a spaceship got revoked. So they actually land up on a planet.
Mm.
And essentially that's the main ideas for starting the story. And obviously it's a planet. There's going to be unknown alien creatures, possibly. Don't want to give away too much of the story. And it also has an AI in it. And you slowly learn that the AI has been constrained for various reasons. And so really can only do particular things like, you know, change your dwelling, make food, but can't create new things. So that's, and I think that was something I took from my experience of doing the image generation, but also just the way other artists at the time were responding to AI being able to generate art. So there's this whole idea that to make something, you need a blueprint or a design, but the design is owned by somebody else and only a few people can make new designs. So I put that into the story as well.
Well, I told you I read part of your graphic novel, but I couldn't actually follow through because it's totally against my way of thinking. However, by hearing you explain where the story come from and a little bit of background of where the story is embedded, I was thinking, wow, the future world hasn't really changed much. There's still bureaucracy. There's still the big companies trying to take over everything. And what fascinates me the most is, yes, the future world, we will live or co-inhabited with AI. But when you say the AI has limited functions, it's kind of just not really aligned with what the latest development of AI. I actually watched YouTube video yesterday. It was done by a very famous Chinese couple. They live in Japan and they talk about lots of different kind of urban myths and new technology and universal things. And the latest episode they talk about is ChatGPT. And they use the episode that ChatGPT can actually contact a real person, ask that person, help ChatGPT to get into a website. And not only that, they can actually detect the emotion, but they actually manipulate the real person, say, oh, I have some visual impairment, so I can't really use this website to get in. So when you say there's some certain functions that the AI can do and cannot do in your graphic novel, have you ever imagined that this is something that AI can actually go beyond?
So that's just it, is there's a very specific reason why the AI has been constrained in the future. Because you're talking way, way into the future, and there's obviously some event that's taken place in the past where humans then had to really look at what it could do, how free its thought was, and try to constrain that to only let it do useful, helpful things. And yeah, that's kind of a bit of a twist that comes along in the story. I don't want to give too much away, but essentially, So Rubrik the AI is, I can imagine Rubrik. It was like, you know, a few months before ChatGPT actually came out. And it was really just based off prompting to create images. And it was, okay, well, what if you had more intelligence behind this? But yeah, it might well turn out that it could be ChatGPT, but it's human experiences with ChatGPT or, you know, similar technology over time, and something might go wrong. And then you might have to tone it back. So in the initial first few chapters of the graphic novel, Rubrik is quite constrained. So there's certain things, most notably very, very good at everyday items. So he can create everyday items, you know, prepare all sorts of different meals and things like that. But there's a point where the main character really needs Rubrik to, I say materialize, but that's a term I'm using in the graphic novel to make and build new things. So it's kind of like, can you synthesize something new because we're in this new situation, because we're obviously on this planet. And Rubrik's response is, I've been constrained and I can't do this. And then it forces a human character then to look at how they could manipulate themselves out of the situation. But it also is bringing up topics of, you know, once you do have an advanced AI which does everything for you, what happens to the human's ability to engineer and build new things? And so we've got the concept of a library in the graphic novel, and it's only able to have books up to a certain point in time before the larger corporations take all the knowledge. So the lead character then reads up these books and tries to find ideas to get out of situations. So it's got that human element of humans building up their intelligence again, to navigate through this scenario.
Interesting. Do you mind me asking, a lot of the novelists, they wanted to put themselves as one of the characters in the storyline. Do you actually portray yourself somewhere in the storyline too, or you rather keep the secret and let everybody guess?
So I think one of the things that people have asked me about, people that I've shared the graphic novel with, the question I get asked is, was it an artistic decision to not put a character in until the last chapter? Because it's all scenic. And I do, you know, the spaceship as scenery. I do the desert as scenery. I do inside the habitats as scenery and the decor inside there. The main reason was I started with Stable and Diffusion straight up in September. And it just wasn't good at that time at doing characters or posing characters. I don't think it was purposeful. I didn't actually mean to not put a character in. It just made it easier to do all the scenes. Technology now, if I were to redo it, I could put a character in. I'm not sure if I'd put myself in, but I could. I'm definitely thinking about, yeah, I think I'd always intended to do versions of the graphic novel. So not new storylines, but to go, this point in time, this is what it looked like with the technology that we had. Mm-hmm. Another point in time, I can put a character in, I can do better visuals. Let's see what it looks like and take it forward. But yeah, maybe it could be me inside. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It is definitely a female character as the lead. In, I think, the final two chapters, it does kind of get revealed a lot more.
Okay. You briefly mentioned that the motivation of getting this graphic novel is that one of the open AI resources released a new the app that you can actually use and start playing to generate a lot of the graphics. Tell us a little bit more about this program and where do you find it? And you certainly is quite a technology savvy person, but for people like me or anybody, if they wanted to learn how to do a graphic novel, just do a few graphics, where do they start? What kind of a starting point they could, you know, get themselves feel comfortable and slowly moving up to writing a graphic novel?
Okay, so I would say it is absolutely easy at the moment to do. So there's any number of websites, some of which are free, some others that you have to pay for. The one that I used, initially I started with a tool called Automatic 1111. That ran through Google Collab, and you know, I think you probably need still, you know, programmer skills to kind of get it up and running and play with it. And the UI, it's very, very powerful, but it has a lot of buttons and a lot of terms and config inside there. At that point in time, I wanted to be more creative. So I didn't want to focus on doing that. So I actually, the company that actually makes Stable Diffusion, they have a tool called Dream Studio. And Dream Studio, I paid for some credits on it, and it provided a nice UI where I could upload existing images, you know, prompt to create new ones, enter styles, choose how many images I wanted generated, their size and dimension, put masks over images, and then it just replaces that little bit with the mask and stuff like that. So I used Dream Studio. There are other tools like Midjourney. And more recently, I think, which is going to be very accessible to anybody wanting to get into this, is Adobe Firefly. Very simple to use. I think it's still in beta, but you can go to the website at the moment, sign up and just start creating images. And one of the things that's really evolved since I started playing last September, you had to think of what the style was and describe it and stuff like that. What you're getting now is an Adobe Firefly has this already, where you can actually choose from a set of buttons and options of what the style might look like. So they're pretty fine for you. So yeah, I'd recommend Adobe Firefly if you were just starting to get into it to have a play inside there. Mm-hmm. So that gets you, so obviously, you know, the scripts would be your idea and the flow you wanted to have. Adobe Firefly or Stability AI's Dream Studio, or I think even Photoshop is getting, you know, Creative Fill, which works just the same. Right. And it's really powerful where you can draw over images and get it filled and expand the canvas and a whole range of things. The other software I use is Comic Life. Mm-hmm. And that essentially just gave me the layout of a comic with different styles I could select.
Mm-hmm.
I could drag their images that I created into it. And then I could add call outs and the speech bubbles for text.
Mm.
And that's how I put everything together, basically. So I think a lot of AI comic artists are using Comic Life at the moment for that reason.
Mm. Mm. Well, during our conversation, you mentioned comic book. You mentioned there's currently a lot of AI graphic novel, you know, software in there. My first exposure to comic books and those characters actually start from The Big Bang Theory. Don't laugh. This is my real exposure of comic book, okay. And say, wow, okay, there's actually a group of people, you know, so into this, more than a movie that, you know, released in different series. But I understand, you know, there's actually shops selling those books and some other products related with the comic book about the character, about the story, and so on and so forth. And now we have, you know, exposed ourselves into this AI world. Has been a lot of a debate about whether AI can replace some of the jobs that we're doing. For what you're doing as a hobby, doing writing a graphic novel, and also the software getting more and more, you know, mature and ready for people in the freelance world trying to get into this field, do you think that people actually working on the comic book in the professional sense, and probably also in animated film, do you think somehow in the future those two or three can actually merge together? There will be more and more people actually do those things at home at night rather than have to be trained to professionally to using certain softwares to be able to support the movies, etc.
Absolutely, definitely. So, you know, the latest has been text to video generation and special effects generation on top of videos. And I think, I can't remember the name, there's even software where you can act out something yourself and then upload it and then get it replaced with a robot or some VFX. And Steven Spielberg's behind that particular company. So definitely, I think things are getting much easier to do. I think a lot of it has, I mostly see a lot of complaints from artists, specifically when, you know, some of their artwork was used to train these algorithms. So, you know, initial training of these algorithms was whatever was on the internet, a lot of, you know, artwork that got uploaded to Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think what made matters worse was the early versions when you were typing in prompts to actually get a certain look and feel, you would actually type in an artist's name. I think it's moved away from that, where you're actually describing what you want now and describing, you know, what style it is, or you're selecting styles from a set of options. And that sort of practice of actually copying someone's style is fast decreasing, I would say. I would add, though, that I think I've seen a lot of people with really creative ideas that perhaps didn't know how to draw, but had the ideas or the scripts, you know, in their head, making these comics. So there's a lot of great storytelling happening at the moment. There's certainly some people that do the story in ChatGPT. Like, you'll see these tutorials on YouTube where it's, I've made this and everything's AI. I've done the story. I've done, so ChatGPT wrote the story. ChatGPT actually wrote the prompts. The AI art algorithm generated the images. And I put it together. I particularly have tried to put the one human element. So my human element into it is that I at least wrote the story. And, you know, even if I'm playing with music, I'm trying to do a bit of AI music at the moment, but it's still trying to put some human element that's from me into it. I think the question really is, so I've done the graphic novel and I've done it all on my own, and I've used the AI to do the artwork based on the prompts that I did it. I suspect it's because I don't know any artists or anybody that would draw all of that for me that I could actually pay to do it. You know, if ever got to the point where it was like, oh, we really like your idea of the comic book, let's take this further, I'd be really open to and a comic artist actually getting in and helping me and crafting it inside. And I think most people would feel exactly the same way inside there. So hopefully there's more ideas to do things, and it can keep artists actively employed by getting involved in more projects as well.
You certainly got me very excited, because I do a lot of journaling and writing, not exactly in the, you know, novel script type thing, but certainly to what extent that I like to use some kind of a graphics to support the little stories or characters that I wanted to portray. But my drawing is appalling.
I think I'm in the same situation.
Yeah, my house is still, you know, the triangle is the roof. And the
I'll be the same.
This is the house that I know been drawing since I was 3, and I don't think my drawing skill will ever got improved from there. So if technology or certain software can actually help me to start getting, you know, a better version of the, you know,
triangle. As I said, I've seen there are the AI art community on Twitter and Facebook is just tremendous. And there's people sharing their prompts, making new artwork, experimenting every day. There's comic books, there's music videos, there's a range of different things that they're doing inside there. And they're absolutely really creative. Like the other, I would say most of the comics I see these days, they've actually put the character in the comic and have taken time to do all those scenes and posing and it's amazing stories and amazing graphics coming from it as well.
Talking about music videos and graphic novel, do you have any other plan after you're publishing the graphic novel?
Yeah, so basically I just released the graphic novel on the internet on my website or whatever. What I want to do, so there's a few things I want to do. Trouble is just getting the time to do it. As you know, we both have really busy day jobs.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So the two main things I want, it's probably three things. It grows every day. I just can't keep up. But the first is, obviously, as I was speaking before, put a character into the scenes. So regenerate all of those images, put a character into those scenes would be the first thing. And obviously that's probably like a 3-month project in its own.
Yeah,
of just doing that every night. The second one is I want to take those scenes and actually have a movie version. So the same, you could use the text to video and prime it with the images from it. So I then want to make that as a feature movie version of it inside there. And I think that's possible. So there's runway.ml have done their Gen 2 video. One, just same prompting to video or video to video or image to video. So I want to play with those as well as add like a music score to it inside there. And then the third one, which surprisingly I think sounds like the most difficult, but it's probably the most easiest to do, is to actually have it as interactive fiction.
Wow.
You can make little chatbots that are based on ChatGPT, and I've made one with the AI in the book's personality rubric. And then I want to dynamically generate images, so you could have someone converse with rubric and they're also stranded on the planet. Mm-hmm. And they get to, you know, navigate out of situations just by talking to Rubrik or reading from the library and have it as a text adventure. Mm. So I've got a bit of that programmed. Very, very easy to make a persona based on, you know, you just use ChatGPT's API as you describe what Rubrik's main things are. And then, you know, the whole materialize these things seem to work pretty well with ChatGPT coming back and going, I'm Rubrik and I'm going to materialize breakfast for you or do these things. It seemed to work okay. So that could be an interesting interactive fiction side of it.
Hmm. So by having that interaction with you key characters, would that actually slightly change the storyline?
It would definitely make it user-driven to a point. Yes, to a point would be user-driven. So you could navigate the world. And, you know, when something scary is happening, you could certainly talk to Rubrik about how you could get yourself out of the situation and stuff like this.
Well, despite we have a very busy day job on a daily basis, I think this is another way that you could actually, you know, restructure what you like to do in your next challenge coming up in the second semester. You could actually make this a special project to get some free labor from your student.
I am going to get them to do a Q&A chatbot. But yeah, I probably won't give them Rubrik as a persona.
No, I'm just joking. But I think the Q&A chat box is a great idea because last week when I was in the Times Higher Education Campus Life Australia and New Zealand version, I was sitting with a lady, Laura, from Future Student, and they have a team of six or seven, and they manage all sorts of admission and enrollment inquiries, domestic and international. The first thing that I actually asked her is, do you actually have a chat box that you can actually just resolve some of the issues or divert some basic inquiries rather than that, you know, using all human effort? And she said, where can I do that? That would be great. So I think, you know, whatever you do with your students might be a good idea to see if there's an immediate need of the chat box can be used in the university environment. So whatever they're working on can be just take a real, you know, effect in the campus real life.
Definitely.
Right. That's all my questions about your graphic novel. Do you want to share anything else? You're more than happy to.
I think that's all. Pretty good questions.
All right. Thank you very much for, you know, spend your Sunday afternoon talking to us, and we'll have a lot of, you know, note to be added in underneath our recording this time. The graphic novel link certainly, and also everything that you mentioned about the software. We'll try to.
I can send you some links on those as well. Yeah.
Yep. That would be lovely.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for having me. Been quite interesting. Thanks.
亲爱的阅读时光的听友这个是我们第一期录的全英文的播客。说实话我自己也有一些紧张，特别是讨论这个 graphic novel 是我原来从来没有涉及过的一些领域。我自己在读的过程当中也有一些挑战，但是我很高兴今天有机会能跟我的同事跟朋友 Anisha 来讨论他的这个设计，他的这个故事，还有他的一些兴趣爱好。他也跟我们分享了很多他所在这个领域当中知道的这个知识所以我们表示非常非常的感谢。Thank you very much again, Anisha.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
感谢您收听阅读时光 Podcast。如果您喜欢我们的节目，请到 Apple Podcast 或者其他收听平台订阅我们的频道，收藏关注，就会带给我们继续制作播客的动力。也欢迎您加入我们的读书会，可以通过 Podcast 下方的微信和邮件联系我们。期待与您一起遇见好书，听见成长。